AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Jam-packed here. Jam-packed. A little bit later on, Hunter, we're going to go to Dublin, Ireland again. Dermot Flanagan. We usually around St. Patrick's Day try to get in touch with him.
Yes,
they've got big,
right.
They've got big problems over there with Brexit, in Ireland specifically. Mm-hmm. It is a mess. And as a matter of fact, there's some real scary things being presented that if a hard border goes up between Ireland and Northern Ireland again,
yeah,
it's not going to go well. And so we'll talk to him about that because obviously that's a big deal. The EU gave him a minor extension, but it's just a minor one. And even the French president today said, the people who did this to you, they're off living the high life. You guys are the ones that are going to suffer, but you have to respect the vote. And we're going to push that. So that's coming up a little bit later on. Joining me right now, Molly Beck is the political reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She is kind enough to join us today after some huge news in Wisconsin, and it just keeps getting bigger. Hi, Molly. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. This ruling yesterday, a judge temporarily blocked the Wisconsin Republicans' lame duck laws that were designed to limit the powers of the governor and the attorney general. Tony Evers quickly pounced on this and started doing things that the Republicans were trying to stop him from doing. First of all, let's talk about the ruling. It does seem like the judge in this case found a procedural problem with what the Republicans did and used that as the justification because it was something that violated the Constitution.
Right. So the judge yesterday ruled he sided with the plaintiffs in this lawsuit that were seeking to overturn these laws. And basically the basis of the lawsuit was that the kind of legislative session that the legislature called to pass the laws, which is known as an extraordinary session, doesn't exist in state law. And therefore, whatever they pass in this session isn't really a law because it wasn't passed in accordance with the state constitution. So that's what the lawsuit argues, and the judge sided with that argument. And also, in doing that, he said, you can't enforce these laws anymore. He issued a temporary injunction, which means, these laws don't have any force of law until the injunction is lifted or another court rules differently. And today the Republican lawmakers who passed the laws appealed this decision or asked for a stay in this decision. So it's possible these laws could be back in effect by the end of the day.
Well, and the judges argument, is it legit? I mean, obviously, if Wisconsin has like emergency flooding, like we got this bad weather, that they have the ability, if they're not in session, to be able to pull themselves into session. It doesn't sound like what the Republican, that session that they passed these lame duck bills was under that same umbrella category. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, it's obviously not for me to say. I mean, the legislature has been using this extraordinary session for decades. I mean, they've passed more than they've passed hundreds of laws through this kind of session. So I think what Republicans are worried about, obviously, is that this would affect all of those laws going back decades. So everything would be affected, including big things like, the right to work legislation that was passed in Wisconsin a few years ago. That was during an extraordinary session. I'm not a judge, so I'm not going to say whether his ruling was correct or not. But obviously, there's two sides to this argument.
Well, and to a point, his ruling is correct because he is a judge. He's interpreted it, and this is how he's interpreted it. So it's the ruling stands. The governor wasted zero time. He pulled Wisconsin from the lawsuit on the Affordable Care Act. That was, within 2 hours, correct?
Yeah. So Attorney General Josh Call and Governor Tony Evers are both Democrats, and a centerpiece to both of their campaigns was to withdraw Wisconsin from this multi-state federal lawsuit that is seeking to overturn the Affordable Care Act. That is something that former Republican Governor Scott Walker and Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, they joined this lawsuit. And I think the Evers and Call campaign think that a big part of their win was because of their focus on healthcare. So this, you know, withdrawing from the lawsuit doesn't tank the lawsuit, obviously, because there's other states, but it was a symbolic message that they wanted to send by withdrawing Wisconsin from it. So the very first thing they did as soon as these laws were, you know, barred from having any effect was withdrawing Wisconsin from that lawsuit, because previously under the laws, the Wisconsin Republican-controlled legislature would have had to approve that.
Were there other things that they quickly got to that they basically said, you know what, since the window's open, we're going to do these things?
No, that was the only thing they did.
Okay. It sounds like now we're doing a game of shopping for a judge on both sides of the aisle at this point. The Democrats are saying the appeal has to go through. I think it's in Madison and Dane County. And the Republicans have filed their appeal up with a Republican-friendly judge up in Wausau, I believe it is. Is there any question on where you can appeal this case?
Yeah, that's also up for debate, too, because as soon as the Republicans appeal this in one court of appeals, the response to that from the plaintiffs was, well, you can't do that. It needs to be filed in the court of appeals around Madison because that's where this lawsuit is. And, of course, the judges around Madison are much more liberal than the judges in the Court of Appeals where they appeal.
Well, Wisconsin judicial, political leanings are foreign, to us, not necessarily because there aren't judges in Minnesota that have political leanings, but they don't wear them on their sleeve like they do in Wisconsin. I'm going to guess the Wausau judge is going to say I can rule on this case. Where would the decision come down that if it's supposed to be in Madison goes to Madison, or if it goes to Wausau, it's okay?
You know, I'm not sure what will happen there. I think the judge probably will say, like you said, you know, I do have jurisdiction. I'm guessing it will be up to the judge there where the stay is being filed, whether or not he or she thinks that they have jurisdiction and they will rule on that.
So then if the judge does rule back that the rules are in place, what does that do for Evers and the withdrawal of the state of Wisconsin from the Affordable Care Act lawsuit?
That is a big question. And I think, in the press room the other day, we were kind of like going through all these scenarios, like what if this happens, what if that happens, you know, and I think that's the big question. If the stay is granted, then the laws are back in effect, but the governor and the attorney general already filed the paperwork to withdraw from this lawsuit, so I don't know what will happen there. I guess it will be up to the judge who's overseeing the lawsuit, which I believe is filed in Texas. So I think he or she will have to say, well, you didn't have authority to do this. It could be that the Republican lawmakers intervene in that or somehow. I'm not sure, but that is a question right now of whether that action will actually take place.
Because, I mean, it really comes down to can the Republicans force the attorney general back into that case? And I don't believe that the laws that they wrote in the lame duck session They have to approve things, but I don't think they can force the attorney general. I mean, it does seem to be some question about whether they themselves could act on behalf of Wisconsin and file their own lawsuit with their own lawyers. But it doesn't seem like that's something that once that cat's out of the bag and per se, basically that they're not going to be able to pull that back in.
Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty tricky for that to happen, like you said, because the Republican lawmakers, they are not the attorney general, so they can't take action for him or make him do anything. Only the governor can do that. So, but if these laws are in effect, he can't withdraw from lawsuits. So I think it will be up to the judge in that lawsuit to, you know, figure all that out.
So eventually, and I don't think anyone's going to be surprised here, it's going to get to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's stacked with Republicans. So it's going to likely this case is going to get knocked back down because the judges will be told by whoever pulls the puppet strings that basically that this is not something you want to go down the road. And, you know, as you said, it's there's a lot of other rules that all of a sudden would be up for grabs. So my gut feeling is, and I don't think anyone's surprised by this, that eventually the Republicans will prevail in this case. unless they can get it to a federal judge, which I doubt they would. So what's, you know, but there are still other cases still pending about these laws, correct?
Right. This is not the only lawsuit that is seeking to overturn these laws. I think there's four lawsuits. So if this one doesn't get the job done as liberals and Democrats want, then, you know, it's possible some of the others would. Or it's possible that none of them do. You know, it's just another one of those issues that I think will be in the courts for a while.
It does have to be decided on the Wisconsin state court level, right? This will never jump to the federal level, right?
I don't believe so. You never know, but I guess they could if it gets to the Supreme Court and the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and you know one side doesn't like the way the Supreme Court rules. You could ask the U.S. Supreme Court to take it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would, but I believe they could ask, you know, for them to take it up.
I think it becomes much more complicated because I do believe that there is a way to do that if you feel as though the judiciary is compromised, but I'm not sure what the standard for that justification mm-hmm. becomes. And so it just can't be, I don't like the ruling. It has to have something more to it. This is the Republicans and the new governor, they don't get along very well, do they?
they don't, it doesn't look like they're talking very much. I'll put it that way. You know, there was another episode this week where Governor Evers put forward this budget for building projects separate from the state budget plan. It's called the capital budget. His plan was about $2.5 billion, and about $2 billion of that was in bonding. Republicans obviously didn't like that. And so, you know, they blocked recommending any projects within that budget to be forwarded to the legislature, which is a practice that's been going on for decades. You know, so for the first time ever, you know, there were no recommended capital projects forwarded to the legislature during the budget cycle. And it was mostly a symbolic rejection, but it still was, you know, pretty notable that that's how divided they are right now. And I think it previews the challenges ahead for the Democratic governor and the Republican legislature. They don't seem to be talking about anything that they can't agree on right now.
Well, and of course not. I mean, this whole thing started after they lost and they basically came up with this cockamamie scheme. But you know, there was that one Republican from Green Bay who basically said, no, elections have consequences. How is the Republicans' attitude playing in Wisconsin? I know you've not had the best economic news. I saw Shopko, the Wisconsin-based retail chain, is closed down now. They could not find a buyer. You know, the economic news out of Wisconsin doesn't seem to be great. And here you have the Republicans who just, they're basically saying, we don't care, we're going to do what we want to, and if you don't like it, we'll just have nothing get done. Is public opinion still on, you know, for the most part, in the Republican court, or is it starting to waver, do you think?
It depends on the issue. I think in the last, we have this Marquette University Law School poll that is kind of considered the gold standard of, you know, taking the temperature of Wisconsin voters. And there was a question, either the last poll or the one before, asking voters or, you know, those who were polled what they thought of how the Republican legislature was working with the governor. And the, you know, the outcome of that showed that people are not really thrilled with how the legislature is working with the governor, and kind of they're putting the blame on the legislature and not the governor. There was also a question asked about these laws that we're talking about, the lame duck laws that limited the power of the attorney general and the governor, and it didn't look like the public opinion was on the Republican side on that either. So if you're talking about those specific issues, I think, you know, the temperature in Wisconsin is not, you know, not happy with the division right now.
The nature of politics, you know, this year might be a wash and they might just be screaming at each other and hate each other and that's that. But eventually in 2020, both sides want to find something that they can campaign on. Have you seen anything from either side where there seems to be, and obviously, you know, flood relief, stuff like that. I mean, obviously that's mm-hmm. people step up for that. But has there been any issue where there seems to be any level of unity between the governor and the Republicans?
Well, there, right when Governor Evers took office, he proposed this. Well, he campaigned on it. It was this middle class tax cut plan. And then as soon as he took office, the Republicans put forward their own plan that just paid for it differently. So that was an example of, you know, they're both on the same page. They both want to get the same thing done, but they don't agree on how to do it. And then they never agree. They don't get it done. And I think that you're just going to see a lot of that. I know that there is an issue, like the issue of homelessness. There's a package of bills that Governor Evers is supportive of and the Republican legislature is supportive of. So there might be some action around that. I think, you know, there's also this very troubled youth prison that lawmakers have been trying to close for a few years now. And they need to, you know, take action on that this budget. I think there's bipartisan support for that. But again, you know, that's part of the capital budget that the Republicans don't like. So I think in theory they agree on a lot, but it's just how to get there. You know, the Republicans are not going to agree to, you know, a lot of tax cuts and tax increases. And, you know, Governor Evers' budget has, you know, a lot of tax increases. So, we'll see what happens here.
Mm-hmm. One final question. Obviously, I want to mention Foxconn. Molly Beck joining us from the Wisconsin State Journal. It's coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There you go. Foxconn, I saw a story out that it said that the Foxconn was moving forward with this trimmed down factory, not the factory they initially had agreed to. Is that true? And is there, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously this is something that they're saying would be fewer jobs still. Where does that stand right now?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I can't even remember when that was now, maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago, Governor Walker and the Republican legislature, you know, passed this legislation that would provide $3 billion in tax credits to Foxconn in exchange for a $10 billion facility manufacturing these large LCD panels for TVs and 13,000 jobs. And what Foxconn has now just officially announced they're, you know, moving forward with is a scaled-down version of that facility, which would manufacture smaller LCD panels, like things for your iPhone, stuff like that. But they're still committed to the 13,000 job mark. I think there's a lot of skepticism about that job figure at this point because it's not, you know, the facility's not going to be what it was proposed to be. But they're still saying they're going to bring 13,000 jobs to the state.
Mm-hmm. With the story that I saw, though, with the type of screens that they're going to make, it just doesn't seem like that's feasible. It just, I keep expecting at some point Foxconn to come back with the toned down numbers and just sort of say, what are you going to do?
Well, and if they do that, I mean, they won't get all $3 billion worth of the tax credits that they could get. So if they don't come through with the number of jobs that they said they would, you know, there is that provision in the contract that, means that they won't get as much money as they were, you know, intended to get.
And once again, with that Shopko going bankrupt and closing down, I mean, that was a lot of jobs in Wisconsin as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
Molly, thank you very much. I'm going to encourage everyone to read you tomorrow because this could completely change. Everything that we have said today might be null and void. But Molly Beck, once again, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you can find her political coverage there. Molly, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We'll spotlight that one. Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Imagine for a minute, you get a- Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl, CDs, and DVDs from now through April 7th and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit. That's 50% more to use on more music or gifts. So bring your LP, CDs, and DVDs to the Electric Fetus. They're located at 2000 4th Avenue South and open 9 to 9 weekdays, 9 to 8 on Saturdays, and 11 to 6 on Sundays. And please note the store is closed April 1st for inventory.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. When you think about what's going on over there, really what you have got is, can one political party who has rigged the system, and let's not mix words, Wisconsin and the Republicans have rigged the system over there. Can they basically, when the system starts swinging back to the other side, rewrite the Constitution and the rules of the state so that they don't ever really lose power? I guarantee you that if the Republicans ever lost the House and the Assembly is their House, the Assembly and the Senate in Wisconsin, that they would frantically, and I mean frantically, be running over and trying to say, we're willing to undo those rules that we put in with Scott Walker. We realize we made a mistake because they realize that eventually they could end up, putting a Republican governor with a House and Senate that has to, Assembly and Senate that has to basically approve everything they do. And so it is incredibly difficult to watch what's going on over there because that is a pure assault on democracy. It really is. And I understand that Voss is just the Speaker Voss is just such an ass. And this is just we are spoiled little brats. We have fixed and gerrymandered this state. We could not believe we lost the governor's race when we had Scott Walker there. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to fix everything again to where we basically never are out of power. The only way that they're going to fix themselves in Wisconsin is by basically throwing all these guys out of office. And they can only gerrymander so much. I mean, that's why you've seen some Republicans start to ask the question of whether we should go back to the standard of only landowners can vote, because they're trying to find ways to parse down the voting public even further to give them an advantage. Because they're gerrymandered districts because they've never delivered. Wisconsin should be an economic boomtown. after Scott Walker, and it's not. As a matter of fact, the only people who are wealthier are a handful of uber wealthy people who are belligerently wealthy now because Scott Walker and the Republicans just opened up the state coffers and gave them a bunch of money. And that's where they're at in Wisconsin. So it'll be, I don't hold much faith because they've already fixed the Supreme Court and they've fixed all the judiciary out there. I doubt that they will basically find for the Democrats. I think the fix is in, but at least, you know, we have a front row seat for this. And when until Wisconsin throws these people out of office, well, you know, there's not much we can do. 952-946-6205. I will say this, as you can hear my voice, I'm not going to be doing a Fish Fry Friday tonight. I'm not a hunter. I would love to. I was thinking about going either to St. Gabe's or St. Albert the Great tonight, but I think I'm going to just take it easy. You know, what it is this. I got sick on Tuesday of last week. Then I went to South Carolina to be with my mom and my family down there. And then basically I never really stopped when I got back home. So I've not really been able, I've not really recovered. Today I took a day and I rested as much as I possibly could. But now, you know, we're at the end of the week. Hopefully my voice will come back by Monday. I do feel better. I do feel better. It's just, we'll have to see if I can recoup this. Let's get, well, we'll get Jeff in really quick here because if we're going to try to get Dermot Flanagan on the phone here. Jeff, go right ahead. You wanted to mention Wisconsin.
I'll be really quick and get some tea and honey. Hey, spot on. The Republicans have just proven that they're the parties that are just little temper tantrum kids, and if it doesn't work out for them, then they'll figure out ways to rig the system, which they always have. And you know, when you were out on vacation or whatever, Randy from Coon Rapids, who never seems to call the show when you're hosting it, still spews his Republican joy on how great that party is. But they're a disgrace to this country, and just they're all Fox News brainwashed, and that's all I want to say. A bunch of spoiled little rich kids.
Thanks, Jeff. I do appreciate it. Let's take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hopefully we'll talk to Ireland when we come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coding science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is one of the top 10 largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned vehicle dealers in the country. They have the best cars, an amazing selection, and unbelievable pricing. With Rudy Luther Toyota fair value pricing, you'll always get an unbeatable price on every vehicle. They'll give you that fair value price up front with no hassle. Online at Rudy Luther Toyota or stop by Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, I'm often asked what kind of furniture Habitation offers. Now, I can go two ways with this. I can say something like, Habitation specializes in warm, modern, raw, industrial, and organic contemporary home furnishings. But what does that mean? It means that we have some really cool stuff, and that is the answer that usually goes over better. But cool doesn't mean crazy. And I'm proud to say that everything we offer at Habitation is functional and comfortable. The type of furniture that will allow you to express yourself but still works every day. So there it is, Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park. It's the Twin Cities' best furniture and design showroom.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 47. Tonight, clear with a low around 27. Saturday, sunny with a high around 54. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 50.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Mounds View Community Center. Featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Mounds View Community Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. eLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week, Victor's 1959 Cafe. Join me. Get some great Cuban food. The breakfasts over there are sensational. Great dinners there as well. 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Victor's 1959 Cafe, the eLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Dermot Flanagan is my dear friend from Ireland. He's a lawyer over there. He is also the godfather of my children, and he is kind enough usually to join us around St. Patrick's Day to talk about Ireland and things going on overseas, and he's kind enough to join us today. Hey, Dermot.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. This is actually, we got stuff to talk about. Now, well, first of all, I'll ask this. In your mind right now, you and I have been talking for 15 years about Ireland. How is Ireland doing right now as far as a country in the EU?
No, Ireland's doing very well. We've spoken through the good times, then the bad times,
yes.
The good times again. Thankfully, everything going very well. Thriving economy. 6.4% growth in GDPR this year. It's going well again. You know, the boom bust economies, the way they work. We're on the I suppose we're heading on the boom cycle of that, and let's see what happens after that. So thankfully everything going well.
That's a magnificent return. Is there anything particular that caused that return?
Not really, internationally, you've probably seen yourself, there's a boost in America, there's a boost in Europe, there's a boost in the emerging economies. So we ride that wave as well as everybody else. If things are going well across Europe, generally speaking, Ireland tends to top the growth levels there. Thankfully, it's a lot to do with the type of economy we have. We're very much involved in the high tech sectors, the pharmaceutical sectors. And that it just when the rest of the world is doing well, we kind of ride that wave, probably at the top of it. Mm-hmm. So, nothing more than that, really. I was watching the American figures recently. In terms of employment, you're doing quite well as well.
We are, but there's they're basically we're starting to get to a point now where the debt load is getting to be too much here, but I don't think Ireland seemed to have learned their lesson from that last economic turndown. They don't have too much debt load, do they?
Look, they're working on it. The debt load was always quite big. It was big in the 80s, got knocked down towards the 90s, went back up again in the last downturn. We're managing it. We're paying it back. We're a very small economy. We're in terms of size-wise, you're between the north and south, you're looking at 5 million people. So mm-hmm. we get hurt badly by worldwide downturns, but we bounce back pretty quickly when the bounce comes, and that's where we're at the moment.
We have to talk
debt
about
is manageable.
We have to talk about Brexit as as this is a huge problem for Ireland.
The
British decision to leave the EU, that's their decision for the most part. They don't have a border with the EU outside of Northern Ireland. Obviously, there's been a border there. They've been desperately trying to. It's almost like they never thought about this before the Brexit vote, and afterwards they said, "Oh my God, we have to put a hard border up on Northern Ireland again," which is not something which goes over. The idea of a hard border going back between Northern Ireland and Ireland, that's not something that's going over very well in Ireland, correct?
Not just Ireland, but the rest of Europe, to be blunt with you. First of all, what you said at the beginning there, they never thought about it. They never thought about anything when they voted on that particular decision to leave. I understand, I think I said it to you last year, why they left. It's the majority of people who voted yes to leave, voted because they felt absolutely, just not attached to Westminster, to their government. They voted because outside of London, there's extreme poverty in the United Kingdom. That's just the truth of it. They blame that on the European Union and the free movement of peoples across Europe. But essentially, it was very much the same reasons why I think people voted for Donald Trump, because they just felt left behind, completely left behind. So that's why the UK voted. In terms of Northern Ireland, you've been to Ireland. The border is not like a normal border. It's not a straight line. It's country roads. It's fields. It's houses. That I know of farms that one half of the farm is in the Republic of Ireland, one half in Northern Ireland. They did not think about that at all. And the big thing about Brexit is you cannot put a hard border back up in Ireland. Last time there was a hard border, this is sounds terrible, Matt, but people were killed. Mm. And that will happen again if there's a hard border again. I think the UK know this, Westminster know this, but they've no idea at all how to get themselves out of the situation, out of the hole they've dug. And 27 countries in Europe can't be wrong. Every single country, the largest trading bloc in the world, 550 million people, believe that Britain have made a mistake, but they don't know how to go back on it. They just don't know how to do it.
They're terrified of their voters, and so yeah, they're going to go through with this. The when we had the occupied, I mean, we've actually had a pretty good resolution after the occupation of Northern Ireland, the removing of the borders, all the work with Sinn Féin. It's been brilliant. I just can't believe these morons didn't think this through at all.
Well, America sponsored the Good Friday Agreement. They got it across the line, in fairness to them. It's to their credit. It was one of the greatest achievements, I think, in diplomacy that they have achieved, frankly. And it was a wonderful thing. And since then, the amazing thing is the trade between North and South. Northern Ireland's a tiny, it's six counties. I mean, it's not even the size of your smallest state. It's incredibly small. And they rely on Southern Ireland for almost everything at this point in time. But everybody got on great. Britain and Ireland get on great. Everything is working really, really well. And this whole Brexit threatens to go back to when I was a child, when I remember that every single week on the radio, we'd have another death on the border, we'd have another killing, we'd have another bombing. And what's just not being thought about at all in Westminster is that's where we're going again. Without a shadow of a doubt, that's where we're heading again. Be it immediately after Brexit or 12 months after Brexit or 24 months after Brexit, that's where we're heading again. And nobody wants that. Absolutely nobody wants that. But it's one of those anomalies where I respect Britain's decision to leave the EU. If they want to leave, that's absolutely fine by me. I mean, I don't understand why you'd leave the largest trading bloc in the world, but if they want to, fully respect that. But they signed up to an international treaty, a Good Friday Agreement, sponsored by the US, co-signed by all parties, and now they just want to throw it away, essentially. It doesn't make any sense in Ireland. And I don't think anybody fully understands the feeling here that it will result in violence.
A border wall is not going to work there. And there have been some...
You can't. You just can't do it.
There have been some suggestions that Northern Ireland will be treated, I don't know, kind of like its own country, that the hard border would be Northern Ireland outside of Northern Ireland. So basically, you'd have to export things out of Great Britain into Northern Ireland as a way to prevent that from happening. How is that being received? Is that a practical solution?
You know, there's the old expression, an Irish answer to an Irish question, which essentially means that it shouldn't really work, but it does work. The difficulty is the DUP, the Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, have 12 members in Westminster, and they currently control the Conservative Party because they are they prop them up, only 12 members. And the DUP traditionally would not be the most rational. They'd be the extremist on the unionist side. And as long as they are propping up the Conservative Party, we will not get an agreement between Europe, Westminster, and if you like, the Republic of Ireland. It's a pretty sad situation, really. But the Conservative Party, Theresa May, Prime Minister, are very, very concerned with just conserving, with protecting, and just making sure that the Conservative Party exists into the future as opposed to doing what is best for their country. Now, in case I come across as the stereotypical Irish guy, you know, Matt, my wife's London. Mm-hmm. I'm not in any way anti-British. I wish them the best. They're very good to this country. We are very good to them. I'm not banging an old drum from hundreds of years ago, but that is the simple fact. They've got themselves into a position where they can't do the right thing. They can't do the right thing. And the right thing is simply to revoke Article 50, which is the article that allows them to leave the EU, and they can do it unilaterally and just remain, because it makes no sense what they're doing. The majority of the polls in the UK at the moment, a majority of the polls in the UK say that the people would vote yes to stay in the EU if the referendum happened again, because they were sold a pup, as we said. They were sold a lie.
Well, and that's exactly what it is. And that's the crazy part of this whole thing, is that the British government could basically just put away this non-binding referendum and say that there were too many lies that were told at this time. This is not what you were sold. We can explore this again later on, but for the time being, for the betterment of this country, we're going to stay here, because England has lost a lot of business and money, correct?
Well, in the last few weeks alone, one trillion, not a billion, 1 trillion sterling worth of investments left the UK. And the irony of this is the MP who leads the largest faction of the Leave, the Brexiteer vote, is... Have you heard his name? I think he was on the American TV.
We're kind of losing him a little bit here. What was that name once again? What was that name once again, Dermot?
Jacob is the MP, the Member of Parliament, who is the leader of Leave, the Brexit. Okay, his personal investments, his personal investment portfolio, from London to Ireland, about 8 months ago.
So he's not going to get nearly as hurt. No, you're still there, but he's not going to get.
He's in the UK. He's in the UK advocating leave Europe, but he made sure that his personal investment portfolio moved to a country that was not going to leave the EU. So, you know, you have this anomaly where politicians who support Brexit don't want to lose anything by it. It's crazy what's happening at the moment, and it makes absolutely no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. And the biggest fear in the Republic of Ireland is that we're back to a situation where we have hard borders or semi-hard borders, and those who support the bullet rather than the ballot start taking charge again.
Does the Good Friday Accords, do they overrule this in any way? Is there some legal finality?
Well, that depends on your interpretation or your following of international law. The Good Friday Agreement is signed by all parties, and it's co-guaranteed by the United States and various other countries. And effectively, that should supersede Article 50. No country should unilaterally breach an international accord. But right now, I don't see how Britain, and the Good Friday Agreement, guarantees there will be no hard border between Ireland and Northern Ireland. But I don't see how Britain can leave Europe and adhere to the Good Friday Agreement. It's just not possible. I know that 22 members of the Houses of Representatives in the US have signed a letter sent to Theresa May to say that, look, if they're going to breach the Good Friday Agreement, they will not support a trade agreement between the US and the UK.
Could Ireland just not care? And, you know, because I know that there are people in the EU who want that hard border there, but it's Ireland. Ireland doesn't want to put a border up. Northern Ireland, they don't want to put a border up. They just don't put a border up. Is that even a viable option?
Not really, because we are members of the European Union. And, you know, you have to remember the European Union are 27 nations who got together and said, we want peace in our time, we want peace in Europe, so we're going to trade together. So we're not going, we're not going to allow a country outside the EU, to use our border as a way to trade with the EU and avoid their obligations under international treaties. So in fairness, you know, we can't do that as a nation. We have the support and of the other nations in Europe, and they have our support, so we can't do that. You're either in or you're out of this club. You know, you can't choose otherwise. I had a great, someone said to me recently, and we've all had nights out like this, where you're out for a night with your mates, and one of them says, this is crap. I don't want to be here anymore. Let's go somewhere else. So they listen to him and everybody leaves. And after they leave, they realize that guy has no idea where he wants to go. So they find themselves at 2 a.m. in some kebab shop, or in your case, in some fast food takeaway, arguing over why the hell they left in the first place. That's the UK at the moment. They have no idea why they left the EU. They have no idea why they left the EU. And so they're arguing now amongst themselves because they won't accept it was our fault that we left in the first place. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't see the Republic, if you like, breaching their obligations under the EU to allow the UK to trade through our back door. But I will say this, we don't want them to leave.
Yeah.
We certainly don't want to see them harmed by leaving the EU. And we wish they'd take another referendum to ask the people, after now that they have all the honest information about what it means, do you really want to leave? Because I don't think the UK would vote again to leave.
I think they'd set it. I wish they would just set it aside at this point. If this does go, if this does go through economically for Ireland, will that be a boon? I mean, obviously, we want to not, you know, overlook the troubles that could return on the border, but economically for Ireland, was that be a, would that be a benefit? If
it would be. People say disaster. No, it wouldn't be a disaster. It would be difficult. There'd be tariffs. We do a lot of trade with the UK, but they need our food. They we supply them with an enormous amount of the food that they require. We provide them an awful lot of the services they require. Europe has already said if it is going to be a difficulty to us, they'll put aside funds, and you know, and they will, to support. So it'll be a difficult for a short while. But there are markets for our products elsewhere. We want to trade with the UK because, frankly, they're our nearest neighbour. They are, you know, now they're good friends. We speak the same language primarily. We don't want to see ourselves having to find other trading partners, but frankly, we will. Mm-hmm. It'll be a hurt in the short term, but not even the medium term. It's not so much about that as that we have come to have an excellent working relationship with Britain, and why would you want to lose that? You know, they and us, we quite frankly rely on each other. So if necessary, trade elsewhere, but we'll get over it before the UK will get over it.
Did you have a nice St. Patrick's Day?
I had an excellent St. Patrick's Day. I think it was incredibly quiet. You know, that's the way I like it.
Yes.
Nice and quiet. It was excellent. Did you have a nice Patrick's Day?
I was down with my mom in South Carolina. We did the traditional corned beef and cabbage. It was very nice. It was just nice being someplace. It was quite tropical down there. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know what tropical is. Remember that? I don't know what tropical is. No, it was excellent. And I actually received a lovely card from Minnesota from somebody over there who has the same dogs as I do, the Irish Water Spaniels. She sent me a lovely card on Patrick's Day, which is really nice. So, yeah, I got that connection, even though I didn't get to speak with you.
And you do have the Irish Water Spaniels. You've been helping to save that breed.
Yeah. And you know what? You know how much we love them over here. It's in the back of my mind that I'd like to get back over there in the next year or two to visit what's over there. It was there a great parade in Minnesota?
For St. Patrick's Day, yeah, there's a pretty good one over in St. Paul for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you're lucky. they're always better over there than over here. I hope I haven't depressed anybody by talking about Brexit this time.
Actually, you want to know the truth is, I think this is the most honest discussion anyone in this town, at least, has had about Brexit, period. And I think it puts a very stark reality on the mistake that the UK made. Dermot, all my best to Helen, all my best to Tara, Sheena, and of course, Usheen down there. And thank you very much. It's always a pleasure catching up with you. A delight to chat with you. Happy St. Patrick's Day, although belated, and all my best to everyone in Ireland.
Right back at you, Matt, and to yours. Take care.
Take care, my friend. Dermot Flanagan, lawyer from Saggart, outside of Dublin, kind enough to join us today. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
The U.S. has been fighting for 17 years in Afghanistan, 15 years in Iraq, and 4 years in Syria. And now the Trump administration is threatening war in Venezuela. As NATO will be starting its 2019 summit in Washington, a coalition of organizations will hold a mobilization to oppose NATO, war, and racism. American wars, with the support from NATO allies, continue around the world. A new nuclear arms race is threatening, and U.S. military intervention is developing in Venezuela. So say no to U.S. wars, NATO, and nuclear weapons and racism with an anti-war protest on Saturday, March 30th at Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue. Make your voice heard. Let's say no to U.S. wars, racism, and Islamophobia. Say no to the Muslim ban. And let's say yes to immigrants and funding for housing, education, and healthcare. Again, the anti-war protest is Saturday, March 30th at 1:30 at the corner of Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue. Initiated by the Minnesota Peace Action Coalition. Let's make our voices heard and stand up against war.
Save an extra 7.5% during Warner Stellion's free tax rebate event. Choose from the best brands at our guaranteed unbeatable price. Then, save 7.5% more with our exclusive tax rebates. You'll save hundreds on lawn repairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, and kitchen suites. And trusted fast free delivery and haul away are still free. Plus, qualified buyers can choose 18 months interest-free financing. Guaranteed unbeatable appliance savings through March 25th with exclusive tax rebates from Warner Stellion.
Getting calls during the commercial breaks on recommended fish fries. You know, I love the places that got the fish tacos, especially if they make homemade tortillas. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, I love talking with Dermot because it puts things in perspective. I mean, if you've never been to Ireland, Ireland is about the most peaceful place you'll ever be. The people there are genuinely the nicest, kindest human beings I've ever seen in my entire life. They are warm, welcoming, enticing, brilliant, gorgeous human beings. When my kids were born, I desperately wanted to have the godparents for my kids be Irish, and Dermot and some other friends stepped forward to be the godparents. And it's made a wonderful connection because the country is just fantastic. But there's this tendency for us that we look at the rest of the world as just them and us. And the reality is every one of these countries, there's complexities that we don't even understand or comprehend. And when it comes to Ireland, I mean, this whole border thing with Northern Ireland, I can tell you right now, if that thing goes back up again, I don't care who it's instigated by, the EU or the UK or both, that's just going to end in a horrible, horrible nightmare. And the relatable thing for us is this, that in the United States, if we don't wake up, we're going to eventually get to this point where they're so terrified of their own voters in the UK that they basically will not go back on this because they know that they'll lose power. So they'll destroy the country as they need to go. That's going to do it for us. We are done for today. Have a good one. We'll be back on Monday. Till then, see ya.